Welcome to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Conversations that are real, raw, and relevant. Let's get the conversation started now.
Hey, welcome to episode number 9 of Necessary Conversations. On today's episode, I am joined by Shayla Ray, an amazing woman of God. Every week on Instagram, I hear her perspective on various topics near and dear to her heart in a segment she calls 2 Cent Tuesdays. In addition, she serves as president and CEO of Shayla Ray Consulting. On today's episode, we're going to converse about marriage, convenience, or covenant. What's up, Shayla?
What's going on? I'm so happy to be here on your podcast.
Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married.
Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today in the sight of God, in the presence of this company, to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony. As it is commended of St. Paul, it is something that should not be entered into lightly or unadvisedly, but reverently, discreetly, advisedly, and in the fear of God. Into this holy union do these two now come to be joined. You know, marriage for so many people is a great desire. There are women listening to this podcast right now who have planned out their picture-perfect wedding. There are men tuned in simply waiting on the opportunity to marry Miss Wright. Yet just like there are those who are excited about marriage, there are some men and women who are currently married looking for a way out.
Bruh.
The excitement, joy, and anticipation for marriage is something that can be intoxicating. Yet, although there is great excitement, I really don't believe that we as single men and single women are adequately prepared for marriage. Some marry based upon covenant, while others marry out of convenience. Now, you have been married before.
I have.
And you entered into marriage for a variety of reasons, but I want to hear your story. Talk about it.
I'm really excited to get into my story for more than one reason. The first reason is I was crippled by my story for so long. Like, I was ashamed of my story. I didn't really want to ever talk about it. And I've been divorced for 5 years now. So it's been 5 years of me reflecting and really coming to grips with my actual story. So my ex-husband and I met in college, and we were just friends. He was in a fraternity, I was in a sorority. We kind of ran in some of the same circles and we knew each other. And so fast forward 10 years later, we are living in two different cities. I'm living in New York City. I'm living my best life. Okay. My best life. And he slid in my DMs and he was just like, "Hey, how you doing?" Or I posted some picture of myself and I had never even thought about dating him. It wasn't even a thought. And so he and I kind of started to talk and I wasn't dating anybody at the time. So it was kind of cool. I would go visit him. He would come visit me. And because we knew each other, I felt I could rush into a situation with him. Because there's this thing that women have, I think, you know, that might be a little bit different from men. We feel we have a biological clock, you know, and we have a biological clock that's ticking every second. And we're also thinking about having kids and we're thinking about marriage probably earlier than men are. So at this stage of the game, I was 27 years old. I thought, I'm old. I thought I would be maybe potentially married by now. But I was so naive. I wasn't ready for marriage. I wasn't in that mind space. I was having too much fun, like just living my single young life. So the interesting thing about us, I got pregnant. And, you know, I was confronted with so many different emotions. I'm a PK, a politician's kid.
There's a difference.
Yeah. There's some similarities, but there's some differences. But one thing that I will say that's similar is you are looked at, you know, you yes. are scrutinized for some of the things and some of the decisions that you make in both positions. Right. And I was raised in the church. I was like that yeah. church girl who was there. I was a mentor to so many young girls. And immediately when I was put in that position, I felt like, oh my goodness, I can't let everybody else down. Like I should be married. If I'm going to have mm-hmm. this child, I need to be married. And then other things started to swirl, business things. Okay, well, what about insurance? How are we going to take care of the insurance? And, you know, how are we going to do this? And how are we going to do that? And although I didn't propose to myself, I feel like right. I put that pressure out there, that energy of pressure. Mm-hmm. And it was just something that I thought I just needed to do based on my position. Yeah. So he proposed, I was like maybe 8 months pregnant when we actually got married. And, wow. you know, it wasn't a wedding for, you know, it wasn't my dream wedding, you know, as right, young girls right. were thinking about the wedding that we want and, you know, mm-hmm. what we're going to look like in our dress. This was nothing like I expected it to be. But I was like, you know what, I'm going to have my wedding later, you know. And I was optimistic. I said, you know, we can make this work. Like, I mean, I'm not in a position where I was just madly in love with him at that point, but I was hoping, you know, over time, if we work on it, you know, we can make this work. And I've known him for so long, and I couldn't have been more wrong.
Wow. Yeah. So let me ask you this. You were in college when you first met him, right? Now, what you mentioned that he was a part of a fraternity. What fraternity was he part of?
He's a Q.
Okay, let's move on. See, I'm a Q as well. And I was going to say, I was going to say you should have hooked up with a Q, but you did.
Right. Oh, wow. And I sure did. And I'm a Delta,
See, well, it was a match. It was a good match, but it just,
it never sparked, okay? It never sparked. But yeah, so.
I got you.
It was non-traditional. Yeah.
Non-traditional, you all hooked up and mm-hmm. started dating and you subsequently got pregnant.
Yeah.
And you felt like, hey, in order to make this right, I need to get married. But in reality, you really did not know him as you should in order to really get married, right?
Exactly. There were so many things I didn't know about him. And I had to think about going back in hindsight. I had never even met his parents.
Say what?
You know, I did not know anything about, I gave our relationship more credit than it was due about, you know, yeah, we were acquaintances and we ran in the same circle, but I did not know this person to the level that I should have known for marriage and for dating. Right. And the way things transpired so quickly, it really positioned us. And God was like, you know what? We have free will. We can do whatever That's it right. is that we want to do. Now, whether he authorizes it or not, is
different.
And he didn't authorize what I chose to do.
Yeah. So you enter into this marriage and you realize as time goes along, this is really not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
This is not going in the direction that I had hoped that it would go.
Yeah.
How does it unfold and how do you get to the place where you say, okay, enough is enough?
Yeah, so he was living in Atlanta. I was living in New York. He ended up moving to New York with me, and I was living with my brother at the time. So it went from an apartment, you know, New York apartments are small for two people mm-hmm. comfortably. Yeah. Then you got a baby in the mix, and then you got a husband in the mix as well. So right. those dynamics were already off. And then his sister ended up moving in with us. So we had a full house of just people, and I felt I needed to make everyone happy because I put everybody in this situation. You know, it's me. So I want to make everybody else happy, even if I'm miserable. But yeah. every day, it just, it just didn't feel right. And he cheated on me. I found out, you know, he cheated on me with several women. And, you know, this was a really interesting turning point in our relationship too, because remember, I'm a people pleaser. So I'm trying to please everybody. And I'm also putting on a facade. So my family and friends think that I'm happy. I'm hiding all of this. I'm hiding and I'm keeping it internalized into myself, because you know how it is, especially in a Black family. If you tell them something bad about the person that you're with,
that's it. Yeah. That's it.
That's it. <Yeah. laughs> It's over. It's done, because they love you, and you might be able to forgive that person. And this is a really
hard, they're not going to forget.
They're not going to forget. And they might not even forgive. So if you're going to tell them, you got to be prepared, and you got to really be ready to say, maybe it's done. But that was one thing that really was harming me. It was taking so much energy for me to act like I was happy, you know, making everybody else happy, acting like, my marriage is good, even though I know that he's cheating on me and doing all of these things. And it really put me in a depressive state of mind.
Yeah.
So I said, I have to talk to somebody. And I ended up getting therapy. Now, at this time, therapy, it wasn't as accepted as it is now. I'm happy we're making some strides. And, you know, people are accepting this is something that I need. But this was kind of like, you're a little ashamed. You don't tell people that you get therapy at this particular time. So I sought out a Christian woman therapist. And I would meet with her every single week. And looking back in hindsight, she gave me some of the most terrible advice.
Wow. I thought she was going to say she gave me the best advice, but no, she gave you the worst advice.
She gave me the worst advice that she could have possibly given. And I couldn't bounce these ideas or these ideologies off of anyone, because again, no one around me knows that I'm even in therapy or that anything is even wrong with me. But she just told me, she was like, trust your man. That was her advice. Trust him, you know, don't look through his things. You know, yes, he cheated on you, but he said he's going to do better. Do not argue with that. Just trust him.
Yeah. No, you know, this is interesting, because as a man, you know, we want our women to trust us. Mm-hmm. We want our women to have confidence in us. No man wants their woman going through their phone, going through their wallet, going through anything. However, when there's an infraction such as cheating, you know, it makes you all as women, you know, heighten, you know, you have a heightened sense of discernment, you know, and a heightened sense of perception on something ain't right.
Exactly.
And consequently, you all go through our things and only to reassure yourself of what is either right or what is wrong.
Exactly.
Now, with that said, though, it's our responsibility as men, if there's an infraction, whatever the issue is, it's our responsibility to go above and beyond to make sure that you feel comfortable.
Yes.
To make sure that you feel like, listen, baby, I'm not doing anything wrong. As a matter of fact, you want to see my phone? Here it is. Here's my passcode. Here's anything. And I know that, you know, there are some men that's going to be listening to this podcast that's going to be like, Daryl, no. Listen, yes. Because at the end of the day, if you want a healthy marriage, if you want a healthy union, you have to be transparent and open and honest. Not everybody makes mistakes. Everybody don't make that mistake, but everybody makes mistakes. And if you have made that mistake and you love this woman, or if you're a woman and you make that mistake and you love this man, be open and honest enough to say, hey, let me lay to bear everything that I need to lay to bear so that you can feel comfortable and you can restore the trust in me.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. And it also depends on how you find out about the infraction too, because I did not find out by him telling me. It was just certain things that I could feel, like you said, the discernment, you know, it just like you could just feel that something was happening. And one day I was actually at Centennial. I was on Howard's campus to bring in Centennial for the Deltas. And that night I called him so many times. My daughter was staying with my brother. He didn't answer the entire day. And he would not respond to me at all. And I just felt like something was wrong. So when I came home, I looked in his phone. That was the first, that was something that I knew was out of my character, because in my other relationships, I had never done that. But I looked in his phone and sure enough, I saw that he was with a woman from the gym that he was going to. And they ended up having a long-term relationship.
While you all were married?
While we were married.
Wow.
And he lied about so many different things when it came, because he had to cover up. He was trying to cover up what was going on. And so there was literally no trust in our relationship. But my therapist, she just wanted me to, it was like, stay in this, you know, you have a man. That's what I got from her too, which was really interesting. You have a man, keep your man.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man? I'm out, man.
And I'm like, okay.
That is by far the worst advice that any counselor can give to anybody. I mean, just because you have, you know, there are a lot of women that feel like just because they have a piece of man, they'll take that.
Yeah.
Or men feel like just because you have a piece of woman, I'll take that. And it's unfortunately the perception of a lot of people in the world. And it's so not right. You know, you want somebody that's whole. You want somebody that's authentic. You want somebody that's true. And if you don't have that, you got to deal with it. Now, obviously, you know, when you find out that you've been cheated on, I'm confident that a whirlwind of emotions began to stir up in you.
Oh my God.
Like, how did you get to the point where you said, it's time for me to divorce? Did you try to work it out, or was there anything along the line?
Yeah, so... First of all, being cheated on, it already is super damaging to your esteem, because you're thinking, what's wrong with me? You know, it always comes back to you. What did I do wrong? Or where did I go wrong? Or maybe I'm not pretty enough, or I don't cook well enough. Whatever, you're blaming yourself for the infraction happening. And I had just had a baby, so I had postpartum, you know, and I'm keeping all of this stuff to myself. And, you know, it really just hurt me, you know, to my core that, you know, this wasn't really working out. But I still was listening to my therapist and saying, you know what, I'm going to keep giving it all that I have. I'm going to give it everything that I have, and I'm going to continue to do what I've been doing. So he and I decided to move to Atlanta, because New York is a tough city to raise a kid in. And, you know, we already had a rocky start to our marriage. And he led me to believe that, oh, maybe it's just New York. You know, I had to move here. This is not really what I wanted. Let's move to Atlanta. So in my mind at that time, I'm thinking, you know, maybe this will change something. Maybe this will help. Maybe being in a different environment will put us in a better place and we can have a fresh start.
Yeah.
But people don't realize you're bringing everything with you. You're bringing absolutely everything with you. And what was really interesting is, you know, I had trouble sleeping around my ex-husband, because that discernment in me, when he would travel or go somewhere, I would sleep. But when he would be like in the bed or at home, I wouldn't be able to sleep. It was like my soul was just uneasy with like things that were going on, and I would just be thinking about it. So we ended up moving. It was, there's so many disastrous things that happened, but I was also happy because the girl that I knew he was dealing with was in New York. So I'm like, okay, if we move, we're moving away from her, you know, so we should be in a better spot. So I ended up moving everything, getting down to Atlanta. And the first night that he came, and I was there for 2 weeks before he came down, I slept like a baby. The first night that he was there, I didn't sleep again. And I'm like, wait, God, we're in a new place. You know, we're in a new city. We're starting afresh. What's going on?
Right.
And that's when I ended up looking in, not his phone, but in the computer. I was on the computer and I ended up seeing even more infidelities, not just with that girl, but with multiple women. Wow. And at that point, I'm not even going to lie, I got physical with him. Like, I punched him in the face. Like, and I've never been in a fight in my life. I'm like, God, who am I? This is not even me. Like, and it was like, God said it as clear as day. He said, you authorized this. I did not.
Wow.
So from that point, I was done. I said, listen, and we had just moved to Atlanta. I had no job. I had no money because we really exhausted everything to move to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Luckily, his dad lived in Atlanta, so he ended up moving with him. Like, we were separated and we were done. And it was just like, I can't do this anymore. And I told my family and I told my friends, and they were really shocked that I was in this state of depression.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that you have dealt with this after just having a baby.
Yeah.
And you as a woman said to yourself, I got to keep it together to make everyone else around me comfortable. And so many women have that mindset.
Yep.
They feel like they have to take all of the pressure. They have to take all of the weight on their shoulders because they don't want to upset the perception of happiness.
Yep.
When in all actuality, they're going through hell. You know, you just had a baby and you said to yourself, okay, all right, I found this out. Let me see if I could still make this work, because you had every right, even biblically, you had every right to divorce him.
Every right.
It was adultery. You had every right. But you said, no, let me see if I can work this out. And you all decided to move to a brand new city,
mm-hmm.
get a fresh start. mm-hmm. And then you come to a point where it's like, this is still not right. And then you realize, uh-oh, this is worse than I thought.
Yeah.
And you finally said, it's time for me to go my way and you go your way. What did that do to you as an individual? Because not just as a woman, but as an individual, now you are no more married, so to speak. But now it's like, it's me and my child. What did that do to you, and how did that cause you to adjust?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I felt so many different emotions. You know, on one hand, I felt free. Because I felt like, wow, that I'm living in my truth for the first time since I've been in this situation. My family and my friends know I'm no longer held captive or hostage mm-hmm. by the perceptions and the opinions of what other people feel about me.
Right.
I'm a good person, you know, and I don't need to prove that to anybody. And it was a certain liberation that rose up in me as a woman. Then on the other hand, you know, I felt like a failure. I felt defeated. My parents mm-hmm. are still married. I felt like I couldn't give my child something that I had, which was super tough to wrap my mind around. And, mm-hmm. you know, I had to face everything. Because we went to college together, we had a lot of mutual friends. They were already like, you know, oh, wow, I can't even believe you guys are together. Then we have this baby so quickly. Then we're married so quickly. And then we're divorced so quickly. So it was like a scandal.
Yeah.
And, you know, people love to gossip, and they love stuff like that. And they cling on to stuff like that.
That's right.
And I had to come to grips with that. And then, you know, it's just tough when you're going through a divorce, because it's like the friends that you have, they feel like they have to pick a side. You know, your family and my family ain't rocking with each other, and it's tensions. And, you know, we have to go through a legal process. I had to hire an attorney, you know, when it comes to my child and what we're going to do and how we're going to move forward. And my future was so uncertain, because I had just moved to the city. This wasn't, I'm like, God, I should have not listened to my therapist. I could have found this out in New York and I would have still been there, versus moving to another city where I'm not, you know, I don't know people here. This is not where I want to be. And I had to face all of my realities. I had to face them head on. And it was a lot of different emotions I felt, but I felt free though. I really felt free. Yeah. I really felt like I had a second chance at life.
That's an amazing feeling because so often, and let me say, I've never been married, but I have had the privilege of speaking to a lot of married couples. And what I do as a minister, I counsel some couples and different things of that nature. And even those who are on the brink of divorce feel as if they are literally in prison. It's like they have a ball and chain around their ankles and they can't move. Mm-hmm. But the freedom that you've experienced, obviously, is liberating enough to give you a whole new lease on life.
Yeah.
The blessing is that, you know, talking to you now, watching you on social media, you don't look like what you've been through.
Thank you. Isn't God good for that?
Yeah, he is.
Because, I mean, it could take you out. Relationships and marriage, it can really take you out. And especially how you come out of it on the other side. And this is why I have my coaching practice to help, you know, single women, divorced women, and co-parents. Because I feel like that's the enemy's goal. Like, if I can destroy a family, I can kill so many people and generations to come, because that's where the trauma happens. Yeah. That's where, you know, everything can come onto your child. And that's what I was thinking about. I'm like, I'm this unhappy. How can I be good for my child? How can I be a good mother to my child? And how can I tell my child one day to stand up for herself and to be all of these things that I'm claiming that I want if I'm not doing it?
Yeah, that's right.
And that was the motivation that pushed me, because I said, I have to be whole. I have to be the best version of myself. Aside of what everybody else thinks, what is the truth and what is my real reality? And yeah, I mean, marriage, it can take you out if you let it.
Well, that's all the time we have for now for part one of marriage. Convenience or covenant? Now listen, if you thought you heard something on this episode, you don't want to miss part two. We're going even deeper. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for listening to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Telefero. Follow us on social media at Necessary Conversations Podcast. Join the conversation by leaving a message on our website, necessaryconversationspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you'll be notified every time a new one drops. Now, go have the conversations you need to have with the people you need to have them with.